إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله، وأشهد أنه قد بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وجاهد في سبيل الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه الله اليقين. إن شاء الله the continuation of the family series. It is the obligation of the parents is to identify to the children or to the household in general and to enforce the concept. Who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What is the purpose of the creation? What is the nature of the relationship between human, between you and between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We need to understand that there are three reasons, major reasons, how the people interact with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Either some, they are scared and afraid from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punishment. And that, there is nothing wrong with that because that's a reality. And there are people who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hoping and seeking for what's the good that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give. So by another word, they know that the only one who can harm is Allah and the only one who can benefit is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the essence, the backbone of the relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is I will obey Allah so I can get. Allah will be pleased with me so He will give me. Or He will prevent the harm from me. That's the essence of the relationship. But the third, which is that's what's supposed to be, is we build the relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala based on the concept of khashyatillah. خشيت الله خشيت الله it means what? You have enough love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that motivates you all the time to try to please Him. And at the same second, you have enough fear to not to dare to disobey Him. So all the time, الخشيه, that means I'm not going to do that because I don't want Allah to be pleased with me. Displeased with me, and I'm going to do that, maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be pleased with me. To get to the level of khashya, there are basic fundamentals we have to understand. So when we build the relationship, we will build it in a true, good, solid, you know, foundations. When we look at the relationship between the human being and what it called supreme power, in the history of the mankind, all the time it was built in the concept of sacrifice. I give the God or gods or whatever that is, they will be happy with me. And when he is happy or when they are happy, they will give me or they will prevent the harm. But the first thing that you need to know in your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ. That means, take it from the beginning and from the starting point. There is nothing that you can in your hand that Allah wants. And there is nothing that you can do, it can harm Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or by another word, whatever you're going to do in this relationship, who going to be the beneficiary? You. If you obey, that's not going to add anything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you disobey, that's not going to take anything away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So build the relationship on the true foundation. What is this? Inna Allaha ghaniyun anil alameen. What it's supposed to be then if Allah ghaniyun anil alameen and there is nothing that I can do to harm him or nothing that I can do to benefit him? What is the relationship going to look like? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describe it, this relationship, by saying رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه. الرضا, the acceptance and satisfaction. Allah is pleased with you and you are pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the essence of the relationship. And that does not happen if you don't know how you're going to be happy with somebody if you don't know who that somebody. If you don't trust that somebody, if you have a confidence in the mercy of that somebody. how we can reach the level of satisfaction. We can reach the level of satisfaction in the relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we activate, and I mean exactly the word that I say when I say when we activate, because we know, we all know it, we all say it, maybe sometimes we all feel it, but not necessarily we all activate it. And what is this statement or what is this word? أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله. If we activate لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله in our life, you reach the level of satisfaction. You reach the level that Allah is pleased with you and you are pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How we reach that level? How we get to this point? The first, when we say ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, we are not saying la rabba illallah. Why it is la ilaha illallah and not la rabba illallah? And both of them, they are right. When you say la rabba illallah, you are 100% right. And when you say la ilaha illallah, another 100% right. But why it is la ilaha illallah and not la rabba illallah? Because when it comes down to it, what you need to know about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, three major things. The Lordship, Rabb, the Divinity, the Uluhiyyah, and the attributes, and the character of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we come to number one, there is no problem at all. Rububiyyah, no problem. The Lordship, no problem. Ask the kafir, ask the non-kafir, ask anyone. Who created you? Allah. وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهِ. What is the problem? What is the true problem is number two. Is when we come and say, لا إله إلا الله. إله, it means what? إله is the one that I submit to and excuse his will unconditionally. Or by another word, I obey nothing but him. Where there is a contradiction between what I want and what that deity want, no, what that deity want goes. So when we say La ilaha illallah, that means what? I am not obeying anyone but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If that's in contradiction with what I want. That's the value of La ilaha illallah. Because once you say La ilaha illallah, you admitted Allah right to be unconditionally obeyed. You say, I am obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because He is the one who had the right to be unconditionally obeyed. And when you say La ilaha illallah, that it is not only you are admitting that there is no one to be obeyed, but you are saying he is the only one that it can be unconditionally obeyed. Because I can say he is the one who unconditionally obeyed. And also so and so. And also so and so. And you have more than one. No. La ilaha illallah, that means one. Ahad. And that's the fark between one and ahad. You, when you say La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, you say, I will obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the same way Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did it. I'm going to try to do my best to see how Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam executed La ilaha illallah. And that's exactly how I'm going to follow his footsteps. I will do my best to follow the footsteps of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what are the footsteps of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? We have to separate, when we get to Sayyidina Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam, we have to separate between two major things. We have to separate between Muhammad al-Rasul alayhi salatu wa sallam, the messenger, and Muhammad al-Insan alayhi salatu wa sallam, the human being. Sometimes we get confused and we confuse both together. الرسول الله سبحانه وتعالى saying ما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا. ما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا. Whatever محمد بن عبد الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الرسول the messenger tell you, you obey. Whatever tell you to not to do, you don't do. But Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-insan, maybe he did not like a certain color. If that's forbidden that I like this color. We know for a fact that he did not like a certain type of food. There is nothing wrong with that. If that means that food is bad, we should not eat it? No. We are after Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the messenger. And if we understand the messenger, we will see how he applied in his life as a human being. We will see how he treated with his friend, how he with his neighbors, with his families, with his relatives, with. So you start with Muhammad Rasulullah, you start by the messenger, and you end up with the insan, with the human being. I am obligated to know what Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, the messenger, said and did. I am obligated to do that. After that, how he implemented, that's the next step. But we don't jump and say, Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had that. He put the turban this way and he dressed a certain dress this way. And Allahu Akbar, I'm a Muslim today. Wallahi, that's a very easy way to be a Muslim. If that takes 23 years, what I can say, I cannot even describe alayhi salatu wasalam, I cannot describe his life as a hard labor. I cannot even describe, because the word hard labor is a luxury comparing to what Sayyidina Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam went through, either for Medina, in the Medina or in Mecca. Can that be the case? You just dress the way that he dressed and the case is closed, or do let your beard a couple of weeks grow up and that's the case? No, that's not it. Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the first thing what it has been revealed to, Quran wa sunnah. The Quran is what Allah revealed on Sayyidina Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam. And we know that the Quran is a revelation, it is not the product of Sayyidina Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam. But what is the sunnah? The sunnah that we are obligated to study. It is how Sayyidina Muhammad interpreted the Quran in his behavior. When Sayyidina Aisha radhiyallahu anha was asked, how you describe Sayyidina Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam? She said, Kana khuluquhu al-Quran. His ethics, his behavior is the Quran. Or by another word, Sayyidina Muhammad was alayhi salatu wasalam a living, walking, talking Quran. كان خلقه القرآن. So when we come to study the Sunnah, what we supposed to concentrate on? Number one, what he said. Number two, what he did. Number three, what happened in front of him and he accepted. Number four, what happened in front of him and he rejected. He said, تَرَكْتُ فِيكُمْ مَا إِنْ تَمَسَّكْتُمْ بِهِمَا لَنْ تُضِلُّوا بَعْدِي أَبَدًا كِتَابُ اللَّهِ وَسُنَّتِي. And another hadith, كِتَابُ اللَّهِ وَسُنَّةِ رَسُولِهِ. I will leave among you whatever you hold on to, you will never go astray. كتاب الله, the Quran, and the tradition, the Sunnah. So now you need to know what he said, what he did, what happened in front of him and he accepted, and what happened in front of him and he rejected. These are the sunnah of Sayyidina Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. So your commitment and my commitment, as long as we are alive, is to go through this cycle. Go through the cycle is to keep learning and keep applying. Keep learning and keep applying. Maybe we are going to be shortcoming. We're going to do mistakes in understanding or implementation. And this is why we have to keep on going. And we try again till we really try to do the best, till we do really truly the best. Another thing represents your obligation to La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, to activate it. that you defend on La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. And when I say defending on La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, I don't mean that you're going to go and fight with people. No, you don't. That's not what it meant to you. Defending on La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, that means you're going to make sure that you will pass. Defending on it, it means that you're going to pass the Quran and the Sunnah the same way that you got it. If you cannot pass it better, that means give more explanation, come with more, do more, writing books, giving lectures, whatever activity, a minimum, give it the same way that it was given to you. A lot of people come and they think that it is a part of a scholarship, is to come and without no study, they go and try to interpret the Quran by its own. Do you know what you are doing? Okay, there is a very short way to understand the scholar. If somebody come in this religion, come and tell you, I am a scholar, that's the one to say, Salamun alaykum la nabtaghi al-jahileen. Peace be upon you. Have a very good day. And don't try to communicate with them again. Because there is no scholar after Sayyidina Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam can claim that he understands everything. There is only one person in the history of the mankind, one single person that Allah recognized and described as a scholar. Do you know who is that person? Sayyidina Ibrahim. Inna Ibrahim kana ummah. Inna Ibrahim kana ummah. Ummah, that means have the ummah. The word ummah, it comes, it is the collection of the expertise. When you have a university, you can say this is a ummah of medical school, or you can say ummah of doctors, or ummah of lawyers. That means all the branches, you have scholars in them. But every single one of them is not a scholar in everything. He is a scholar in what he got. But Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam kana ummah. He by himself was ummah, was the mega scholarship. So when we come to here, we need to be very alert and very careful about where we get our information from. You have hundreds of websites, hundreds and hundreds of websites coming up from so many sources. Some of those, they are good. Some of them, they are not. You have to verify. You have to, like you verify your food, verify your idea. Verify what's going on to your family, what's going on to your friends, what's going on to your children, what's going on to your soul. You have to verify those sources and protect it. Be active. You have to be active. We have to be active. What I mean active is have it in your mind. I said La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. In the bottom line, I sign a contract. Whose job is to fulfill that contract is me. I am around 100 people, none of them is fulfilling that contract. It doesn't. They sign a contract with me, but none of them is doing it. So what? So what? When you are born, you are alone. When you said ashhadu an la ilaha illallah alone. When you are in pain, you are alone. When you die alone, when you go to your grave alone, when you stand up again inshallah resurrection alone, and when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and tell you ya abdi lima asaitani, you are alone. When Allah tell you ya abdi my servant, why did you disobey me? You're going to tell me because they did it? No. If you're going to have to give excuse about anything, don't do it. We don't have this luxury, believe me. Part of defending La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah is not to give explanation or excuses. If you're going to sit down and try to go, Because no one gave excuses for doing the right thing. No one ever, you will see, giving excuses for doing the right thing. Giving excuse, that means even you yourself is not really persuaded by what you're saying or what you're doing. Listen to yourself in this case and be grateful that you still have that doubt and you are rejecting. There is some goodness still rejecting the bad things. You have to build the protect when you come to defend an Islam. Protect Islam by your household. And protect your household by Islam. You protect your household by Islam by teaching them how to be a good Muslim. And you protect Islam by your household by teaching them how to stand up for Islam. And no one can stand up for Islam if you don't know what Islam is. If you don't know what you are fighting for. In the Second World War, let me give you the example to show the sincerity and the value of committing and the value of understanding what you're doing. In the Second World War, and that's a fact and that's a history, no one can debate that. A lot of people after the end of the war, they wanted to find out. The German went to Paris in almost 4 hours. You have an army. You have everything is intact. You have people haven't gone exactly the same way. Where is the defense? Where is the defense? They went, like they say, like the knife in a butter. The German went in it in France like a knife in a butter. No resistance. So they did make a very big study why that happened and how it happened. Even at least they would have some resistance. And you know in the bottom line what they found? There is no loyalty. There is no, including even among the army. Loyalty, it means you have a commitment. Very simple, and when they ask them and they made their surveys, he says, why should I die for somebody else? They did not say, why should I die for my country? Why should I die for my honor? Why should I die for my principles? Why should I die for my family? Why should I die for my economic resources, my country? None of that exists. Why? They found out there is a huge lack in the way that these generation and the region after and after was raised, lacking the word loyalty. They don't have a motive to do it. Now, that is a red light right there. You go to your family and ask him if somebody attack Islam or Muslim or a leadership or whatever in front of you, what is your reaction? What is your reaction? Are you going to get excited? Are you going to be excited because you insulted, or you are excited because Islam got excited? And I said it before and I'm going to say it now again just to remind you. By catastrophe is when I see somebody in college in the event of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the scandal about what they are doing. And the guy coming very sincere. I think he was in that time the second year in college. Very smart, very educated Muslim family. Very, very nice. He says, what is all of the fuss is all about? What is the people getting killed in Pakistan and what is this demonstration and everybody protest and project and do whatever that is? Why all of that fuss is all about? Something got to me and I said, do you know why they are doing that? He says, yeah, they are doing that because of Muhammad. I said, do you know who is Muhammad? He said, yeah. I said, who is Muhammad? He said, yeah, he's the prime minister of Pakistan. that, the Prime Minister of Pakistan, what kind of a loyalty I expect from that person? And who do we blame? I have a man taller than me. And he thinks that Muhammad is the Prime Minister of Pakistan. How that can defend an Islam? Or defending Muslims? Or defending the Quran? I'm not blaming him, but in general, I'm blaming the culture and the society and the family. So, part you have to teach your children how to defend on Islam by being a good Muslim, by being knowledgeable, by being able to make debate, by understanding how other people think and what's in their mind and what is their allegation, and answer all of those. That is a part of activating La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Let us seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiveness and guidance and blessing. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to fulfill our commitment to La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله وأشهد أنه قد بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وجاهد في سبيل الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه الله اليقين. So now to activate لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله, you have to commit yourself to live it in accordance to the way, to see what is your commitment to Allah, to La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Number one, to learn as much as you can. Number two, to apply as much as you can. Number three, to defend on La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Number four, to propagate La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. And when I say propagate, I don't mean converting people to Islam, because that's not your job on mine. إنك لن تهدي من أحببت ولكن الله يهدي من يشاء. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who had these rules. He has that role. He is the one who guided the hearted. But what is your role on mine is to make the information accurate, clean, pure, available. That's your job and my job. والله لا تسألون عما تفعلون. Allah will ask us about that. We have to make it available. The first way to make it available is by your ethics and the way you conduct yourself and behave with other people. That is the best way to do it, to propagate Islam, is to, by your behavior, by the way you conduct business, by the way you deal with others, by the way you enter people home, by the way you select your friends, by the way you honor the privacy of other people. Not cheating and dealing and wheeling, and you think that you are a smart people, a smart person, or a smart businessman. No, you don't. Look at it this way. Arab represented between, and during the whole entire history, up and down, between 13 to 17% out of the population of the Muslim Ummah. Imagine the Arabs, between 13 to 17, up and down. Where is the majority? They are. Most of the majority of the Muslim Ummah, they are all over the world. But there are certain areas, like you have Indonesia. You have another Malaysia. You have in India. You have in China. You have in another area. There is a lot of big population of Muslim there. No one single soldier in the history of Islam, one single soldier, landed in those lands, landed as a soldier on those lands. And they are the majority of the Muslim Ummah. How they became to be a Muslim? They became to be a Muslim through the role model, through the merchant. Through the Muslim merchant, that they go down there, they respect their word, they lower their gates, they don't cheat in their merchandise, They don't cheat in their transactions. They deal hand in hand. Their word is a contract. They give the best presentation to Islam. To the point that it was, if you study the history and a part of it, people trusted those merchants that is, they are called foreigners enough to go and promote them to get married from their own sisters and daughters. Because they wanted them to sit down and to stay with them. They said, we want to have a good family, and you are a good seed to good family. That's the best way to propagate Islam, is by your behavior. The second, which is we are lacking. There are two major communities in the last century, the 20th century. I say, good for you. You did very well. You learned your lesson, and you are coming up with a flying color. The first one is the Jewish community. The second one is the Orient community. Both of these communities, they were coming from under the gun. Literally under the gun. We all know about the camps that they have, and they prepare concentration camp, not for the German, for the Jews, but for the Orient. They are the enemy. They are the enemy. They are the Japanese. They are the yellow guys. How they turn it out today, look at any given advertisement in the Quran and the television to any channel you want. You will see a figure of an Orient personality. That means he is already now part of what? The fabric of the society. Either they are doing the advertisement or they are in the background. One way or another, they are involved. How they did that? They did it through the civil work. They did not say, you are violating me. You are discriminating me. I am the minority here. You are doing this to me. You are doing that to me. They said, no. This is only one land. There is only one constitution. There is only one flag. I'm going to get out there and I'm going to do my job and I'm going to do it right and I'm going to help others. And I'm going to change the negative profile by showing them my quality. That's what the Jewish community did. And that's what the Orient community did. We're still fighting. We're still surviving. We're still suffering from a negative profile. Whatever the reason is, how that negative profile came in here, that's irrelevant. But it is here. Who you think going to defend on La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah and it changed that negative profile other than you? No one. And if you're not going to do it, it's not going to be done. La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, that means you will introduce it the right way to other people. If they take it or they don't take it, that's not your business. But at least to let them understand what is the essence, what is the roots, what is the value of Islam. And that's through your behavior and through your civil work. The more you get involved, the more you get involved, the more you change, the more you do the change, the more you will be more productive. I want to finish the khutbah by telling you one thing. The difference between the one who believe by La ilaha illallah and understand it, Muhammad Rasulullah, and apply it, and the one who doesn't, exactly it is like the difference between the one who is committed to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way that Allah wanted. And the other one, he already identified, but he wanna worship Allah the way that he or she wanted. That is a decision you're gonna have to make and you cannot have improved and you cannot compromise. Either you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted, or you worship him the way that you want it. But remember, both of them, they said, La ilaha illallah. And both of them, they said, Muhammad Rasulullah. That means we recognize Muhammad as a messenger. But who gonna obey and who gonna follow? That's what gonna make the difference in between. So that's a very important issue that you need to discuss with your child or your household, and to let them know we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for khashyatillah. We want Allah to be pleased with us. And we want to, so we will do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ask us to do. We will stop what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ask us to stop. Why? Because we want to be among the people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about them, radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. Allahumma ja'alna minhum ajma'in ya rabbal alamin. Ibadallah, qulu la ilaha illallah, tuflihun. عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. Let us seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiveness and guidance and blessing, and give us the wisdom and the courage and the knowledge to study the teaching of the Holy Quran and the teaching of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and apply them in our life so we can live in peace and die in peace, and inshallah in the hereafter we'll be in peace and will be among the companions of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in paradise. Ibadallah, qulu la ilaha illallah tuflihun. Ibadallah, inna Allah ya'muru bil adli wal ihsani wa ita'i dhil qurba wa yanha 'anil fahsha'i wal munkari wal baghi ya'idhukum la'allakum tadhakkarun. Uzkurullah yazkurkum wa la zikrullah akbar wallahu ya'lam ma tasna'un wa aqimus salah.
Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Hallelujah.